But Psalm 87, and I'm just going to read the seven verses here and kind of bring this back to our minds. Psalm 87, verse 1, His foundation, that is Yahweh's foundation, is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High Himself will establish her. The Lord will count when He registers the peoples. This one was born there. Then those who sing as well as those who play the flutes shall say, all my springs of joy are in you. Now, last Wednesday, we looked at the psalm in general, noting that at least verses 3 through 7 refer to not to an earthly Jerusalem, but to a what? To a heavenly Jerusalem. And personally, there's debate about this. I do think the first couple of verses also refer to that heavenly Jerusalem. But some people think that the first couple of verses refer to earthly. But almost all conservatives think that by the time you get to verse 4 and following, we are talking about a heavenly Jerusalem. And this is a Jerusalem that Paul refers to as the mother of us all. And it is clear, I think, that Paul got that understanding from this psalm. Where would you get an understanding about the heavenly Jerusalem being the mother of us all from Psalm 87? How would you deduce that?
Born.
Yeah, you got born, right? Three times in this passage. It talks about people, verse 4, born there. People, verse 5, born there. Verse 6, these are the ones who are born there. So Paul is reading that and he's thinking, all right, if you have a birth, you have to have a mother, and that's the heavenly Jerusalem. In order to have a birth, you have to have a mother, and you have to have a father. Who's the father? Yahweh, the Lord. The Lord would be the father. And so here you have that. And I think for Gentiles people, and I think speaking for myself specifically, but I think also for all of us in general, these are strange concepts to our ears. Right? We don't talk about, you know, Richmond being the mother of anybody, right? We don't talk about cities being the mother of anyone. But here is our Lord's language here as He speaks about this. And with this, I want to remind you that Hebrews tells us concerning the tabernacle, that that tabernacle was a copy and a shadow of what Moses saw where? In the heavenlies. So the earthly Jerusalem was intended to reflect as a copy and a shadow the heavenly Jerusalem. Did they do that? Well, the answer to that is what? No, they failed miserably with that, right? And so here we have early on, and I'm not sure who wrote this psalm, but if it was David, we're talking about several thousands and thousands of years ago, even before the New Testament, that the writer of this psalm understood there was a what? There was a heavenly Jerusalem. And so it kind of reminds me, does it not, when you talk about this one being born there and that one being born there, and you remember Jesus telling Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And Nicodemus said what? How can this thing be? You remember what Jesus said to him? Are you a ruler? Are you a chief rabbi in Israel and you don't know these things? Why is that? Well, at least in this place, and there are other places, but at least in Psalm 87, it does talk about that, doesn't it? And so Nicodemus certainly should have been aware of this, but he was not aware of it at all. So this Jerusalem that is above has within the city people who were born there. Now in the first three verses here, we see the Lord as the builder and the maker of this city. Note in verse 1, whose foundation is it? His foundation. He's the one that set that foundation. Who's the one that made the gates of Zion that the Lord loves? The Lord is the one who loves those gates. These are glorious things spoken of you. This one who has the foundation that is put by God, that is in the holy mountains. Now that phrase, holy mountains, is also used of the earthly city of Jerusalem. That city was on the holy mount. But remember, the earthly is a copy and a shadow. And we do read in our Old Testament about things like this. You remember reading this? God dwells in the north. In the north? That's strange, isn't it? God dwells, He's the most what? He's the most high. And do you remember that Satan's desire in Ezekiel was that he would ascend above the clouds and above the mountains, that he would be like God? And the Lord says concerning Lucifer, He says, you were with me on the holy mount. Now this was before the creation of the world, right? These are when angels were there. So there is a holy mount that does refer to the earthly city, Jerusalem. And there is a holy mount that refers to the heavenly Jerusalem. And we know from verse 3 that when we're talking about a foundation and we're talking about it being on a holy mount and we're talking about that it has gates and that these things are glorious, he just comes right out in verse 3 and says, this is the what of God. This is the city of God. And again, was the earthly Jerusalem referred to as the city of God? Yes. Yes. But this is the city of God. The one that is in the heavenlies. Now folks, there is a huge difference between the earthly Jerusalem and the heavenly. Do you remember what the Bible speaks about this city coming out of heaven in the book of Revelation? Folks, the earthly Jerusalem was built with what kind of material? It was built with earthly stones, right? Earthly wood. In other words, it was built with earthly things. Which means that it could be what? It could be destroyed. But when you read about this city coming down from heaven like a bride adorned for her husband, folks, that city is not made of stone and wood. That city is made of precious stones. Remember, the gates are made out of pearl. The streets are laid with gold. So pure, it's transparent. All the foundations are made of different precious stones like agaz and carbuncle, and you have all these 12 foundations that are there. When you read that description, there is not anything about it of earthly stone or earthly wood, which means it is indestructible. It is the eternal city. of God. And folks, why this is so critical for us to understand this is because the church is called the temple of God. Am I right about that? Mm-hmm. And do you recall what Paul exhorted from the mouth of Jesus Christ to a local New Testament pastor? They were to build on that one foundation. Who is who? Christ Jesus. They were to build on that foundation with what kind of material? Gold, silver, precious stones. Do you hear that? Not with wood, hay, stubble. Everybody see that? In other words, we ourselves, as a local New Testament assembly, it is imperative that we build on that which is indestructible. It comes from heaven. And folks, in every individual believer, it will be uncovered when you stand before Him exactly how much of what you engrafted into your heart was gold and silver and precious stones, that is the wisdom of Christ, or whether you took in wood, hay, and stubble. And you know what's going to happen when His eyes of fire look upon your soul? What burns away? The wood, the hay, and the stubble. Folks, even if a fire, which is impossible, but even if a fire surrounded and engulfed the heavenly Jerusalem, after the fire exhausted itself, it would still be there. Right? You put a diamond in the fire goes out, what do you find in there? You find a diamond. You put a piece of wood in there, stoke up the fire, what do you find after that? Nothing. You in your life have a divine obligation to build your soul with the right materials. And every pastor has a divine obligation that from this pulpit, in every Sunday school class, in every discipleship event, in every communication one to another that we have, that we are giving the gold and silver and precious stones. Because that's the only thing that's going to last. Just like the city from which we were born from. Hallelujah for that. And so here we have this foundation that is there. And again, this is what Abraham was living as an alien in the land of promise. He was looking for a city which has foundations. All right, look at Psalm 87, verse 1. Does this city have a foundation? It does have a foundation. He's looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is who? It's God. Whose foundation is this in verse 1? It's His. Who's the one that laid the gates of this city that the Lord loves? He did it. This is the city of our God. Hallelujah for that. And folks, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to be present with the Lord is to be in that city. Because the Lord is there in that city. And all the spirits of just men made perfect are there in that city. I'm so glad we're just not kind of floating around, right? We're with Him in that city. And so He introduces this. He loves this city. He loves this dwelling place. Verse 2. More than all the dwelling places of Jacob. You can take your Old Testament. You can go to all the places where Jacob dwelt. You can go to all the places where all his 12 sons dwelt. The Lord loves this city of Zion more than all those dwelling places. And what does that intimidate about this city? This is where God dwells. This is His city. He's the builder and the architect of it. Now, as we close here, you'll see in verse 3, just from what I'd mentioned thus far, could you agree glorious things are spoken of you? Things of glory spoken of this city. The foundations, the building blocks, the gates, the walls, which imply stability. The walls imply security, protection, the opening up of the gates so that the righteous can come in and out in the new heaven and the new earth. Are these things not glorious? And we're going to be there. But I got a question for you. In verse 3, is there anything specific here? Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Well, surely the description that I just gave you is glorious, right? But that's not what this text is talking about. What are the glorious things that are spoken of about this city? Well, there's three. Look at verse 4. How does it start out? I shall mention. Is that speech? This is the glorious things that are spoken of you. Verse 4. I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me, Philistia, Tyre, with Ethiopia. This one was born there. And in New American Standard, it's got little quotes there. This is Yahweh, the Lord, speaking. Everybody see that? That's a glorious thing that he just said. But that's not the only thing. You see any more speech in this song? Look at verses 5 and 6. But of Zion it shall be said. Here's something glorious. This one and that one were born in her, and the Most High Himself will establish her. The Lord will count when He registers the people. He says, this one was. Isn't that glorious? That's the glorious things that are being spoken about this great city. Did you pick up the third one? The third one's in the last verse. Another group says something. Then those who sing as well as those who play the flute shall say, what do they say? All my springs of joy are of you. Glorious things of this city are spoken. And folks, in this psalm, if we miss the glory of these statements, we're not understanding when we sing John Newton's hymn, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. These are the things that are so glorious, they are beyond comprehension. And it's these things that I trust that we'll investigate as we go further into our study of this psalm. Everybody see what I'm talking about? Everybody see the structure there? Okay? And maybe you want to go home this week and maybe Sunday afternoon and open that up and see if you can, you know, just put the verse there, and on the right-hand side, just put a big category, glory, in capital letters. And then write out what the glory is. You'll see it. And as the Lord ministers to your heart, you'll walk away with exceeding joy in your hearts. So let's go to Him in prayer.